Coming up, Chris Brown, Bondi Vet will be coming in shortly. We love talking all things animals with the vet, with the doc. And I'm going to ask him about Cocaine Bear,
yep.
which is a movie which is, it's a surprisingly a hit
yes.
at the box office. People want to go and see a bear off its chops going bonkers.
What's the genesis? Is it a true? Is it kind of based on?
Well, that's what we'll ask him. I think it is based on a true story. They may have taken a bit of license with it, as they have with a new film, hot on the tails, about a meth gator. it's called Attack of the Meth Gator, and they're saying this is based around a true story too. Apparently, in Florida, people are flushing meth down toilets into the water system,
oh,
and they're saying it'll get into the system, and then a croc will get it, and he'll go nuts.
Imagine that.
Can you imagine a alligator on meth? It'd be like an alligator with no teeth.
and doesn't blink for 4 years.
Yeah. Before it eats you, it asks you for $2 to catch a train. We're going to do an Australian version. Chlamydia bear. Chlamydia koala. Ketamine kangaroo. Let's imagine Skippy disappearing down a K-hole. I mean, is that... Is that what people want to see?
Imagine
is
a kangaroo, what... kangaroo on speed. Noing, 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 noing.
He just bounced over my head. What is going on there? No, but listen, I want to ask him too. There's many different animals that... I love the idea that you know what the film is in the title. It goes, Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Bear's a bear on cocaine. Meth Gator. The 40-year-old virgin.
Yes.
For a tired version. I wrote a film once called Vampire Lesbian Surfy Chicks. No, I did. I've written the film. I've actually pitched it. And they go, people go, I'll buy it straight off the title. That's true. You think I'm joking. Oh, so, you know what? I'll cast you in it.
What's the title again?
Vampire Lesbian Surfy Chicks.
What's the premise?
Well, you can probably guess. Lots of hot surfy chicks having sex with each other and biting everyone. Goes off.
Are you okay
with Cocaine Bear? My one's no good.
Well, they can't. Hot surfy chicks can't go in the sun because they're vampires.
That's right. So they surf at dawn and they bite. They bite guys.
Oh,
well,
you didn't explain that.
Guys.
Oh.
Oh. Don't you know anything about surfing? All you need to know is in the title.
Michael Spielberg.
All right. Okay. All right. You're not coming to the opening of Vampire Lesbian Surfy
Chicks. I'm there. Can I come?
I'll scratch that off my list. Plenty to come on Mick and MG in the morning, including Dr. Chris Brown, who popped by for a few quirky animal stories and gave us a hell of a fact about how giraffes know when it's time to mate with the females. Unreal. Also, we talk about the ketchup guy who survived nearly a month at sea with nothing but a bottle of ketchup and some seasoning. And Cocaine Bear, the movie, taking the world by storm. There's a follow-up potentially called Meth Gator.
From rugby league brawls to media scrums, from green grass stains to red carpet burns, from hit-ups to Hollywood. With the latest in entertainment news, it's OMG MG.
OMG MG. You're on fire this morning. You came in ropeable. You were tipping furniture over. And you said you wanted to add someone to your list. What is your list?
Well, my list is a list of guys who kind of just irk me. A lot of people love these people, but I see the bad in them. And there's people
list, and you don't want to be on MG's list because...
No. I'm adding someone to the list this morning because on my way to work...
Just before we get there, I'll just let people know who's on your list already. Adam Levine.
Yep.
Rock. No, I can't believe The Rock's on your list.
Yeah, The Rock's
on your list. We know why The Rock's on this. Guy Sebastian, Ed Sheeran, Marky Wahlberg, we'll get to him in a minute. Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Prince Harry. Was there a specific reason?
Where do I start?
Was it all the todger talk?
Yes.
There was a lot of todger talk about
it. There was a lot of todger and, you know.
I'll just play a little bit from his audio book.
My penis was oscillating between extremely sensitive and borderline traumatized. The last place I wanted to be was Frostnipistan. I'd been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She'd urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream. My mum used that on her lips. You want me to put that on my todger? It works, Harry. Trust me. I found a tube, and the minute I opened it, the smell transported me through time. I felt as if my mother was right there in the room.
Wow.
And I took a smidge and applied it down there.
Ew! Ew! Right now I'm in the fetal position on the floor of the studio.
I need a shower.
What is wrong with that man? All right, so he's on the list. Who are you adding to the list today?
Well, this morning I saw signs all along the M4 on the way to work that they'll be closed from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. M4 tunnel between Homebush Drive and Parramatta Road to Ashfield will be closed. And
why?
Because apparently old mate Ryan Gosling is filming more.
He's done it again.
He's done it again.
Ryan friggin' Gosling.
He's on the list.
He's a one-man wrecking ball shutting this town down. Yes. He shut down the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
I remember.
And now he's shutting down the tunnel. So you can't go above ground. You can't go below ground. Can you go by ferry? Has he stopped the ferries? Has he shut the harbour?
He's working on it.
You giant knob. What is wrong with him? I'll tell you, if he's filming The Notebook too, I will lose my... friggin' mind.
So you're coming around to this list, aren't you?
I'd have him on my list. Yeah. I think he's seriously. Just for being in The Notebook, that film. I told you, I had a friend whose girlfriend made him watch The Notebook. She didn't like the way he watched it, so she made him watch it again, and she watched him while he watched The Notebook.
And he got his nuts back.
Oh, mate. Unbelievable. And Marky Wahlberg. We mentioned Marky Wahlberg because he's on your list for a number of reasons. What didn't you like about him?
I didn't like... look, I haven't liked him for a long time. I think once you get over, say, 45 and you got to kind of... You know, oh, no, he's got a good body, but he's always got no shirt on. Yesterday, he presented an award at the SAG Awards after... issuing an apology before that about going on a talk show with the Ash Wednesday sign on his forehead, which I don't mind about religion. That's nothing to do with it. But he's just a wank.
Ash on your forehead.
He's just a wank.
If I did it, you go, whoa, Mickey's had a big night. That's Mickey, true. What's Mickey up to?
Head in a fireplace.
Should have go home and have a shower, Mick. Do it deliberately on TV. What? Okay, well, so he opens the SAG Awards and he delivered an award.
To the predominantly Asian cast of Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And people might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, in 1988, the 51-year-old actor now, with his 51, when he was only a young guy, he got convicted of assaults on two Vietnamese American men.
He was found guilty of bashing two Asian boys, is basically what happened. And there he is, handing out the awards. And apparently he'd been asked about regrets in life. He said his one big regret was boogie nights. Who would have thought bashing Asian youths might have come up at some stage?
You're on the list.
But he's religious and he's got ash on his forehead.
That's right.
Jesus. Rugby league is back.
Deep into the crystal ball.
We're just waking up and we're waking freezing. Up here. It's freezing. It's 2 days really till kickoff.
Got a beanie? He's got a beanie.
Look at gloves.
It's a beanie and Ugg boots.
The Panthers have been doing...
Oh, what are you doing
the
Panthers, today? Now,
I'm going to do top eight today.
You're crystal balling.
Crystal ball. Top eight.
Top eight. So you did the bottom five yesterday. That was harsh.
Yep.
No real surprises.
No, not really.
Who do you give the spoon to?
Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think Dolphins.
All right, and so now we're doing top eight, but in no particular order, because you're saving that for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So who's making up the top eight?
I think Penrith will be there.
Penrith, check.
I think Sharks will be there. I think the Storm. I think the Roosters. I think the Cowboys. I think the Eels. I think the Rabbitohs. And my last...
Is this the most controversial?
I think, probably. Because
is this year bumping up the order?
This is. I think it's out of the Broncos and Manly for the eighth spot.
Gee, I'm going to go Manly.
I'm going to go Manly. Manly.
Squeak into the eight.
Yep.
Would have thought you'd have them higher than that.
Yeah, really?
No.
Because you used to follow the Manly, didn't you?
Manly Ringer, back at the Bobby Fulton era. Is he still playing?
Yes, he is.
And so, okay. Now, that's going to cause, I love these lists because it gets everyone fired up. What's going to fire people up most about that?
The fact that maybe the Tigers, the Raiders,
who missed out,
the Broncos,
who missed out, who should have maybe.
Well, that's a contentious part of this top eight because there's probably four or five teams that their supporters think they should be in the eight, but I can't see there's top six top seven that stand out because I think Parramatta are going to be there again. The Rabbitohs are definitely going to be there. Roosters, they just signed another Panther. I mean. Great juniors at the Roosters.
All right, settle down.
Wow.
Penrith is still in the mix. Where can what's it? How well you?
Well, I think Penrith, I think okay. Well, I think tomorrow
they've been gutted, haven't they?
Tomorrow
according
I was
to
going to do who was going to win the comp, but I think it's going to be out of.
Right, hang on. Well, you're going early. Okay, tell us who it's out of, but don't give it away because that's your big reveal.
Okay,
who's going to
top four are going to be Penrith, Melbourne, the Sharks, and the Cowboys. Are my top four. So no team has won it outside of the top four in the NRL era. So if you don't make the top four, you're almost no chance of winning the comp.
All right. I like it. MG has spoken. You can make of that what you will and punch on with each other. And live in the studio for the very first time this year, and hopefully not for the last, is the Bondi vet himself. It's Dr. Chris Brown.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good to have you in the studio. Lots to get through, but firstly, congratulations and welcome to my network, the Seven Network.
Yeah.
Let's just get the pecking order right. Park in my car parking spot, and it'll be the last thing you do. Do you understand that?
Look, I know it was signed off by you at the final step.
It goes me. Like, yeah. Here's the pecking order. Me, Manu,
and Alf.
Cash Cow,
Alf.
And you. You could do a veterinary service on the Cash Cow. That could be one of the first things you.
It's maybe why I'm being brought in. I can't say too much. I've been eyeing off the Cash Cow for years. There's a couple of improvements we could make there. I'm quite sure.
Welcome to the network. You'll be a great addition, and it'll be fun. Do you know what you're doing yet?
Not really, actually. Just to. I don't know. There's apparently a Wednesday night sports sort of show.
No. Right, I'll get Dr. Harry Cooper on you. Hey, whatever you do, don't turn up wearing one of those little caps. That's Dr. Harry's.
I got measured up the other day. They said, can you just put this around your head and just see, how do you feel about tartan? I was like, I don't really have a theory on tartan, but I didn't really see anything of it.
There's already a front bar. Maybe you could do a front calf.
Yeah, well, front here calf. We go.
I look forward to seeing what you're up to. Before we get there, though, I need to quiz you on a couple of things.
Firstly,
the plot to the film Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Now, this is going intrigued. Bonkers at the box office. It's about a bear that's woofed a kilo of cocaine and gone on a rampage. True or false? They're saying this is based on a true story. Can you confirm this or not?
That is true.
It is true.
Oh, that is absolutely true. What was it, about 20 or 30 years ago that a guy flying a plane from Colombia, of all places, who would have thought he'd find some cocaine in Colombia, just dropped a backpack out there and decided to pick it up later, but a bear got hold of it.
I thought it was sherbet.
And it didn't quite, the plot from that point onwards doesn't exactly match the movie.
Okay. Right. Because the bear died.
The bear died. went a little too hard.
That would have been a good move in The Revenant. a shock move in The Revenant. Yogi Bear, I reckon, was on the gear.
Definitely Humphrey.
He didn't have any pants on.
Humphrey Bear.
That's the problem with these bears.
It makes you look at things differently now.
It really does.
There's a lot of things that just don't quite add up. But
So is this true? In the animal kingdom, there are some animals who do get off their chops. Now, can I confirm this? There was a story about moose. In Canada, and so the apples and fruit was dropping off the trees and fermenting, and moose went in, ate the fermented fruit, and went on a rampage, went like kicking doors down. Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. Like there's a list, which I'm amazed you're not familiar with, Nikki. There's a list of animals all around the world that find their highs, find their little kicks.
Well, yeah, koala.
Koala, yeah.
They're off the chops most of the time, don't they?
They have in South Africa, actually. There's a mob of marauding monkeys. I'm sure that's what a current affair would call them. And these monkeys pick this particular time of year to raid a winery when all the grapes they haven't picked are rotting on the ground. Wow. And a bit of sun, kicks the fermentation process into action. The alcohol develops in the rotten grapes. And they just go, they have 5 days, the best 5 days of the year. They put it all aside. They get clearance with the missus. They jump in there.
It's a bender.
It's a bender. It's a legitimate bender. So
I'd love to go on a monkey bender. You watch out. Did you know MG is now a winemaker?
Yes.
Really?
He bought a winery. So I'm going to release the monkeys over at Lily Pilly.
No, just release yourself. The bear.
Just dropping the grapes on the ground, hoping for the best.
True or false? Is it dolphins get hired? What do they eat? Puffer fish or something? Is that... I mean,
sure. Yeah, they do. Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Harry Cooper would know that.
He would. He definitely know.
Joined live in the studio by Dr. Chris Brown, who, you know, I'm just saying, we could never room together. Like, we could never be in a shared house because our lifestyles are quite different. What, tell everyone what you've been doing this morning.
I had a, like, you know, it's morning. I had a swim before I came here.
He's done a triathlon this morning.
he's coming with red eyes. He's red eyes.
I thought,
looks like he's had half a bucket bong or something.
You felt some alignment in lifestyle there, and then I stepped away.
And then you went the completely other direction.
He's been swimming.
All right. No bunk beds for us. Now, we've just been talking about the cocaine bear, based on a true story. And there's a new film out called Meth Gator, I'm guessing. Now, that's supposed to be based around people flushing meth down toilets in the Florida area.
Yes.
And it getting into the water system and a
crocodile
alligator going bonkers. I'm guessing that's not as true.
That's definitely possible. Like, they're very sensitive. Like, reptiles, or really any animal. And, you know, it depends how much you're flushing down the toilet.
Well, it depends how many police officers are walking through the front house.
That's correct. So, yeah, that one may have some semblance of truth. Like, certainly fish, aquatic animals accumulate anything that's in the water. Yeah. They slowly build it up. So you got to watch that.
What about Sharknado? Was that true? can a tornado pick a shark up and drop it in a crowded CBD area?
What do you want to be true, Nicky? Just give me an indication. I can make it happen.
Only if Iron Zering can be in it. Remember Iron Zering, the bloke from...
You go to places that I would never pick in the world. Now, we need to talk giraffes.
Yep.
Because there's a story about giraffe sex life, so I need you to confirm. Before we do that, though, I put it to you that, and this is where I'll show off my knowledge, that the giraffe, out of all animals, has the biggest heart of any animal in the world. Nate, listen to me. Because it's got the longest neck and it has to pump blood up from the heart chamber to the head. Correct? Yes. Win a prize, Mickey.
Give me that look again, Mickey. It's not correct.
Oh!
It's not. They have some of the highest blood pressure because of that.
Obviously.
Boost it right up. Well, the blue whale.
Yes. That's not really a land animal.
It's a mammal.
Sorry, I didn't realize there was a catch. But...
So you could be right with this giraffe.
Do you know what? I'm writing a film called Cocaine Whale. And its heart beats so fast. It's got the biggest blowhole. Like, it goes up about 50 feet. Hey, tell us about giraffes and the giraffe sex life. I didn't know this, but you're coming in hot today. This stand by, everyone. What do we need to know?
Well, giraffes have a rather unique way of sensing when the time is right.
Because animals do give signals, don't they?
And Mickey, this might surprise you. So do humans.
I wish they were easier to read. Girls, how about making it plain? You know what I mean? It's like baboons. Like, the female bottom goes bright red.
Yep.
That'd be good.
Yep.
Imagine if girls' bottoms... Like, when they were interested, so you're at a bar, and all of a sudden, Maruga, look at that.
You do not want a woman's bum to look like a baboon's bum, trust me. There are things that you can't unsee worked on a baboon's bum.
And the dogs get lipstick as well.
That's all right. The Elizabeth Arden gets a run. So that would be, but I'm just... Well, that's the male signal, really.
You've got to be careful joking about the lipstick on a dog. I treated a dog the other day that...
He had
his lipstick stuck out. It took some coaxing to get back in. And that is not something you put on your resume. That is... You don't go to vet school to learn that. But it's
tell us about the giraffe.
Something you have to do. All right. Look, giraffe... The way they indicate, the way the female indicates that she's ready is most animals let the other animal, like let the males know by weeing, And then the other animal, then dogs do this, cows do this, a lot of animals do it. And the male nose is very good at detecting the pheromones to say, okay, yeah, it's time.
We're on here.
So.
You've got a logistical issue, which Mickey touched on with the giraffe and the fact that they're very tall and that the head is very far away from the ground, right? So if the female giraffe was to wee on the ground, the male can't really get down to reach it without really inconveniencing himself.
So
when the female, so the male, the way the male checks if the female is ready is by walking up to her and he gives her a nudge with his head, which is the giraffe language for "Would you mind weeing in front of me right now?"
Let's get a game going.
And she obliges, but he can't take the risk of it falling onto the ground. So he wees into her mouth.
Oh, come on now.
There's a whole porn category.
And a couple of people just driven off the road.
So he wees into her mouth and he does the necessary tests, the chemistry, at that point, swishes it around his mouth and breathes it in like MG's going to be with his wine soon. Just sloshing it around, seeing what sort of notes it has.
And what's he looking for? Me and my monkeys.
Well, he's looking for the pheromones. Yeah. And once he finds the pheromones that are there, that he needs to know are there, then he knows that it's time.
Do you know what?
Time.
I think I saw the same thing on maths.
I'm not sure. Right.
That is educational. Mm. I can't. Can you? You're going to come in on occasion and talk us through this. Before we go, MG's got one. He wants to question without
notice.
Well,
a quick
to
one.
The doc.
A quick one. Do dogs get COVID? Can dogs get COVID?
They can. Yeah. They don't really show signs though.
Okay.
It's very.
Okay. Let's next question. My dog. I've got two Moodles, both in the house, and one of them just keeps licking the air like. Well, for no reason. I'm going, what's going on with this dog? Mm. Why does he keep licking the air? Mm. Is there something wrong with him?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, the,
what?
Sort of behind the eight ball with having you as the parent for the starters. But what's his name?
Buddy.
Buddy. So when Buddy licks the air like that, so there's a bit going on. When Buddy does that, what do you do?
Mate, stop licking.
Yeah, exactly. So this is Dr. Harry won't give you this, Mickey.
Yeah, no.
So what he's doing there is that he knows he's created a behaviour that in amongst the hustle and bustle of the Gaia family household,
five children,
he wants to be noticed. He wants to be heard. He wants to be appreciated.
Ah.
He's created a behaviour that you can't ignore. And every single time he does it, you say his name, which gives him the rush of being noticed.
Wow,
it's like a kid crying in a supermarket.
Yeah. That's why he's doing it. So you just
smack
him. So just ignore him next time. He does it.
You've got to ignore it.
Okay. Yeah,
got to walk away and maybe get a ball, just distract him away with something else.
You're good.
Put the lipstick away as well. It'd be good. And we've asked Dr. Chris Brown to hang around because we've got a story he might be able to weigh in on. We might need to apply his medical knowledge towards this activity. And we're talking about the underground world of mothers selling their breast milk to male gym fanatics for up to, cop this, $136 a pint.
What?
British women, and I think it's happening here now as well, are benefiting from a new source of income, a side hustle, by selling their breast milk to men online. Dozens of expectant new mums are advertising so-called liquid gold online for up to, $136 a pint. Some are even taking crypto. is this a thing? Personally, I prefer my breast milk brewery fresh. I like to tap it from the source. But is this a thing and is there merit to it, Dr. Chris?
Just checking. You realise the doctor relates to animals. It's not a human... It's not a human qualification.
Yes, but you would understand the qualities that breast milk have.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yes. This would be a real thing. And the thing about breast milk is, across all animals, humans being one of them, breast milk has the higher, in the early stages, when you're in that colostrum stage, it has the highest level of protein, highest level of antibodies. It's got some growth sort of hormones in there. So it would be... Very for the gym guys. This is better than a protein shake.
Really,
protein shake. That would be a protein shake, and it's cheaper than some craft beers.
Well,
at this point, it's like a creepy white Russian. if you know what I mean.
Which leaves a little moustache.
To me, Team Maria Milk.
Your little breast milk moustache as you leave the gym. So there is something to this idea.
There would be a market for any aspiring entrepreneur who wants to start to... I mean, I look forward to the approaches. It's going to be a delicate conversation to find your team of producers, if you like.
Could you heat it up and put it in a cappuccino? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, easy.
Could you have like a...
No, Jay, it would froth like you wouldn't, but baristas would love this. Because it's the protein in a milk that makes it froth, right? So that is what...
A barista? Did you just say a barista would love this?
Yeah. So
a babooster.
If you want more froth in your milk, you use like a higher protein milk. That's the key. Froth is just protein. So this is froth. Central.
I cannot wait to get involved.
Well, there's a lot of men frothing for this.
Let's just tap up a keg and go hard. Thank you, Dr. Chris.
What about the ball? A bullet of a pass.
Schools in session. Mick continues his NRL education.
A step closer to the grand final.
And you are furious this morning. You're playing it down on air, but you're kicking furniture over. You're punching the walls. Penrith have lost another one overnight, correct?
Yep, it's time to, again, the Roosters. And there's been some suggestions about their salary cap and whatnot. I'm not going to buy into that because if it wasn't above board, they'd be found out. Roosters are good at what they do. And good on them for getting another superstar. I'm just... What happens,
What's
Mickey?
Left? Is there anything left? Is the cupboard bare at Penrith?
There is.
Or is it just an embarrassment of riches that you've got that much depth?
Well, put it this way. Last year was the first time in the history of rugby league that Penrith won the five competitions.
Yeah.
SG Ball, Harold Matthews, Jersey Flag, Reserve Grade, First Grade. It's never been done before.
Sure.
So there is an arsenal of players to pick from. Unfortunately, it's these guys that Penrith have been nurturing, like the Spencer Lenus, the local juniors, that now get plucked from almost obscurity and get taken to another club. The Roosters have got a good one on their hands because he is a fantastic player. The thing that I don't get, they all say it, and Billy Kickhead did it last year, but when players sign to go to another club, then they've got the whole season to play at that same club.
So can I put this to you? What you just said to me, I cannot believe. So coming from Melbourne and in our code, the idea that some player had signed to another club and would continue playing for the club, it would just would not happen.
What would happen?
It wouldn't happen. That the club would remove him immediately.
Wow.
Or you keep it from the fan base. If a club knows that their player is going to go, we don't have that window that I think you have.
Yeah,
so you've got to wait till the end of the year to do it. But clubs know if a player is about to leave. But there is no way if that became public knowledge, that player could continue playing for that club while it's known he'll be playing at another club next year.
Yeah.
Would not happen.
Man, it happens really regularly in our game.
And why is that? Because there's a window that occurs during the season.
Yeah, there's a window through the season, but plus once a certain date in November comes, then you're allowed to sign with whoever you want. So these stars now in our game, they can sign a contract with another club for next year.
Be like me finding out that you were signed to Hit FM next year.
Yep.
And yet you were going to continue on with me.
Wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, the way you've been behaving lately.
Maths.
Maths party with Kat. He had a pub crawl. Yes, Penrith. You didn't invite me to.
I've got something special.
You bought
you.
A winery without me.
I've got
something. Let's go to break.
What a tantrum.
Come here, give me a cuddle.
Embrace him.
Why?
Because you keep wrestling me.
Talking about some hacks, because you know Mick Tock is going off.
It is.
Mick Tock is huge. So I'm always scouring TikTok to see what I can lift. And there's a couple of good hacks going around. We're going to talk about hacks. And if you've got a good hack, give us a call, 133353. I know you've got a couple, MG.
Yep.
But let's go first to a couple of stories. Now, there's a good Qantas hack out there. You brought this to my attention, Kat.
Yes. I'll let the woman talk about it here and then we'll discuss.
I recently got a whole row to myself on Qantas and this is how I did it. Once you get to your gate, you want to wait until it's about 10 minutes before boarding, then open up the Qantas app and click the seat selector tool. If there's a whole row free or even just a better seat, make a mental note of that seat number. You won't be able to select the new seat in the app as it's too close to boarding, so simply just go up to the desk and politely ask to have it changed. So easy, and I can't believe this works.
Okay, so that sounds miserable.
I think she's on the gear.
Yeah,
was that the meth gator, bro?
I think so. That was Cocaine Bear in female form. But what she does to make that palatable is she will already book her seat,
yep.
And then she shows up to the airport. She's got a seat. And then just before the flight's about to board, she quickly goes on the app and sees, oh, there's a whole free row at, 14F, and then goes up to...
Jumps over.
Yeah, jumps over.
I get it. All right. We've got another one here. This is brought to my attention. This is how you identify if your partner's cheating or not. And it's simply by placing a water bottle, a secondhand water bottle, in the car and asking if it's theirs.
How to test your partner to see if they're cheating. Buy a used water bottle from Goodwill that could theoretically belong to anyone. Pretend to discover it in their car.
Here's your water bottle.
Use this exact phrasing. This only works if they think you think it's theirs. If they have nothing to hide.
That's not mine. I don't know whose that is.
They'll admit they don't know whose it is because you've made them feel like you trust them. But if they are cheating,
thank you so much.
They'll go along with you and pretend it's theirs.
That guy's being cheated on.
He's,
if you're going out with that guy, feel free. What a giant
cheat away.
So what he's done, I'll break it down for you. So he plants a water bottle and goes, oh, is this yours? And if you say yes, he knows it's not. Therefore, you're cheating.
Yeah, in other words, if this bloke comes into your life, say it's not your water bottle. Otherwise, he sounds like a serial killer.
So what about your water bottle? The one you had the other day, the diamond.
Diamond encrusted. Yeah, that's for special occasions.
Is this yours? And you said yes. I wouldn't believe you. Who have you been seeing behind my back, MG? Whose water bottle is this?
Merrick.
Who have you had in the car?
Merrick.
Have you got a hack?
Sam Peng. I've got a couple. So, you know, in microwaves. When you put a bowl of spaghetti in to warm it up or something from last night's dinner, and you can only fit one bowl in, to fit two bowls in, put a coffee cup in with it and put the coffee cup next to the bowl, and so the second bowl is above the first bowl. So, see this bowl like that?
You put the coffee cup in the middle of the bowl.
Yeah, and then you put the bowl on top of the coffee cup, so it's above the first bowl, and you get two bowls in at once.
Mate, it only takes like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it take me that long. To construct, I need planning permission for the council to construct what you're suggesting. Now I've got two plates spinning.
I've got some idle time.
That's like a circus act. You know, the guy's trying to. Why are you trying to put two plates in at once?
Oh, just to hurry things up. We've got five kids. Yeah. I've got another one. Okay, when you go to Macca's, I always like crispy chips at Macca's. So I've worked out that if you say to the young lady or young man on the microphone, can I have fries without salt? You'll get the chips fresh as a daisy.
Right.
And then if you like salt.
So they go and make them for you?
They go make them for you because they've all got salt on them. They always put salt on their chips. So then if you like salt, you say, can I have a couple of satchels, please, with the salt?
And then they look at you and go, you've rigged the system.
And quarter pounders, another one. I love quarter pounders fresh. So I always ask them for a little bit of chicken salt, chicken sauce on the quarter pounder.
And then they have to go and make them for you again.
Fresh.
I had a mate who had a McDonald's franchise, and we used to go in after hours and make pounders.
Oh.
It's like a quarter pounder times four. Now, there's a hack.
Have you got a hack?
If you want to pound it, and I'm not telling you mine. Mine's too good.
Yours is
so good.
You know.
Mine is so good, and I'm not sharing it with anyone.
Are you really keeping it to yourself?
I can't tell you.
You have to.
Well, it involves the zoo.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, 133353, let us know what's the hack. Get on board.
What is your hack?
Kat, you got one for us?
I've got trust issues like the water bottle guy. Any person I'm going on a date with from the dating apps, I put their photo into a reverse search image in Google and find out and make sure their photos are real.
Wow, I didn't know you could do this. And it can connect you to what their
social media sites are. Is this a hack or creepy? I'm not sure.
Well, a bit of both.
It's kind of stalking.
Yeah, it is a little. I just researched.
It's kind of stalking.
It's researched.
And have you ever found out something that you didn't like?
Oh, I've just noticed that the person wasn't who they said they were, so their photos went to a different Facebook account with a different name, and I went, okay, not dating that guy.
Wow. Guys are very clever like that. I've got a mate whose friend has a yacht, so he took a picture of him behind the wheel. His Tinder shot is him behind the wheel of a yacht. He's not technically lying. You know what Japanese boys do?
What?
So it's such a big status symbol to be a member of a golf club in Japan, in Tokyo, they sunbake with a golf glove on. So when they go out, girls in a bar will see that one hand is wider than the other
and go,
oh, my God, he's a member of a golf course. That's a hack.
That's unreal.
That's a great hack.
For you. Con's on the line. Con, what's your hack, buddy?
Oh, back in the day, late 80s, early 90s, been nightclubbing, full of drink, go across the road to a hamburger place.
Yep.
Short on cash. Eat most of the burger, go back with some hair out of my head into the bun, and I complain, I get a whole heap of burgers for nothing for me, mate.
Con, I think that's stealing. Thanks for the call.
And if you get caught, that's right.
Carol's on the line. Carol, what's your hack?
Hey, guys. How are Panther?
Hello, guys.
Hi, I've got two hacks. One, Krispy Kreme's green lights on, free donuts. Line up for as many as you want.
I can't understand what you're saying.
What's that?
Krispy Kreme what?
Krispy Kreme donuts.
If
there's a green light on, free donuts. They're making fresh donuts. Go inside, ask for your free donuts.
Oh, wow.
And why do you get them for free?
Because they're freshly made and they're samples. They're handing them out.
Okay.
All right. I'm writing that down. And what's your other one?
And the second one is, if you order food online and it takes too long to come, you ring them up and say your food's cold and you get a refund.
All right. Well, can you do that? But they'll know how long it's taken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's over 30 minutes, usually.
Really, you should get it for free.
Yeah. Most of the food is when you get bloody delivered, it's cold anyway.
All right, Carol, thanks for your time. Richard's on the line. Richard, give us a hack, mate. A lot of these hacks involve McDonald's.
We love it. By the way, who are a good, fantastic company.
We love. Yes, Richard, what?
Hey, talking to me, Richard, is that right?
Yes, you, mate.
Yeah, okay, that's easy. The kids found a way of getting free food from McDonald's. You drive through the drive-thru and they ask, what do you want? And you say, just a glass of water. And you say, right, no problem. And the car behind you, you get his order.
How do you get his order?
Well, you've only asked for a glass of water and they don't think it's right. So they end up looking at you and going, wow, he must have ordered this. So you get the blokes behind your order.
What if you don't want the person behind your order? What if they've got two hash browns and that's it and you're starving?
So you're taking potluck.
You are.
You mean it's like a bit of a raffle.
That's exactly right.
Oh. That's some of the nuttiest talkback we've done since I've been here. I'm not sure any of those were hacks.
It's all thievery.
Crazy, off the charts behaviour. All right, let's regroup.
I think we should. Tick
tock, tick tock. Checking the latest online. No. It's Mick Talk.
I love this story. Heinz is looking for a man who survived 24 days at sea on just ketchup.
Wow.
Or tomato sauce, as we like to call it in this country. I love this name. Elvis Francois.
Yep.
A 27-year-old man from... Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the news story, and they'll explain everything that happened over the previous 24 days.
It all started with a rescue in the Caribbean Sea. A plane spotted a stranded man who wrote help across the hull of his boat, and this container ship rescued him. News reports identify him as Elvis Francois from Dominica. Come to find out, Francois lived stranded at sea for 24 days, eating nothing but ketchup, spices, and some fresh rainwater.
Wow. You know, they want to find him because that's the best ad for Heinz
you'll
ever see in your life. What would you, if you could only have one thing to survive on for 24 days, MG?
What condiment?
A condiment. Which condiment would you go? I'm going to have a guess. You're a marmalade man from way back.
No. I'm a chili oil.
A chili oil? You know what? You're going to spend 24 days wolfing chili oil?
Not that. Good Lord. You'd hope the pump system would be all right if you're going chili oil. I'd go, you know what? I'd go mayonnaise.
You are so gross. Vanilla.
Oh.
I can read you like a book.
What would you go?
You get Worcestershire sauce or something.
Marmite.
Worcestershire sauce. Marmite. I haven't heard Marmite for 20, 30 years. Is it still around?
How dare you? Maybe a bit of Nutella. Maybe I'd go a little bit of Nutella. Well, you can only have one, guys.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had chips. Then you've got the ketchup. Yeah, but then you'd be fighting off the seagulls. She says, so then you'd be batting off the seagulls. Oh, no, no, maybe you could lure the seagulls in.
As a meal.
As a meal with a chip tomato sauce on it. Can I tell you something? I saw there was this other story about these two guys who were fished out of the ocean off the coast of Mexico, and they'd been at sea for like 106 days or something, and they came in and having a press conference, and I'm sitting there thinking, they don't look that bad to me. They look all right.
Yeah.
I said, what do you survive on? The odd seagull. And that's all a bit sheepish. And I said, and then one of the questions that goes, hey, wasn't there originally three of you?
Oh.
And they go, yeah, there was. But anyway, let's just say it's a few seagulls. Joining us live in the studio for the first time today, where have you been, you lazy? What have you
I've been working so hard and now you've locked the door on the studio. I can't get in.
Well, welcome. See how cold it is in here?
I love it.
Get your beanie and your gloves on. This is unbelievable. Breaking news. What is it?
Yeah. Well, good news. More than 2,500 people are set to strip off for a vital cause in the world's largest annual nude swimming race to be held in Sydney.
This is a Sydney event, right?
It is. It is a much-loved annual Sydney Skinny event, which is returning after a three-year COVID hiatus.
And you're saying you do this most time. You've been doing this.
I haven't. I've been bringing you the story.
No, the swim.
No, I have not.
Oh, you will.
No, I won't.
Why?
Why wouldn't you get your togs off for a good cause?
Because exactly. There's other people there and they don't need to be confronted by anything like that. I say embrace it. It's for a great cause.
Well, we say embrace it then.
And where is it being held?
It's being held now. It's called a beach. It's called Cobblers Beach.
Cobblers. Now, I bet it is.
I went and did a deep dive on Cobblers and it's near.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm going to get that phrase.
Here we go.
And that's going to come back to haunt you.
I've done a deep dive on cobblers.
Fire away.
When I put it into my Google search, a lot of stuff came up and then IT saw me, but that's a different story.
I'm glad that this swim isn't at Nobby's Beach in Newcastle, because then that deep dive would have sounded a little bit different.
Tell me what happens at Cobblers.
So I didn't know Cobblers is a nudist beach at Mossman.
What are you talking about? You and Glenn go there all the time.
No, we don't.
Here's the problem. The problem with the nude beach is it's everyone you don't want to see naked. Am I right? That sounds like fun, and then you turn up and it's just full of pot-bellied German middle-aged men. Not great.
The same as swingers.
How would you know?
Okay.
It's just the same as swingers.
I
might do a deep dive on that.
Guys, focus. Now.
Sorry.
There was in Melbourne, there's a nude beach called Sunnyside, and it was near where we...
What?
No, it was Sunnyside up. It was, I'm not making it up. Wait, hey, Cobblers, Sunnyside. You got to think of it. But you had to be nude to go on the beach, right? So that was the rules. So me and my mates, we were about 13. We went and got a tinny from the yacht club and drove it round to the beach and moored it about 20 feet off and just sat there with binoculars haunting everyone. Because that's what you did as kids. The idea of seeing a nude chick was, oh, my God.
Wow.
Did you say you were 13 or 30?
Oh, look, I still do it. And sneaking around behind my back last night was MG and Kat watching maths together, texting each other like teenage girls.
We were.
And working out who you like, who you don't like. What do you make of it? Firstly, I'm going to go to you, MG. Are there some hotties on deck?
Well, there's a new couple involved, and they've kind of been thrust into the experiment as intruders.
And how's that going?
Well, he's good. Hugo seems like a legend.
Hugo.
He's one of them guys who I wouldn't mind one of my daughters going out with. But on the other hand, his partner, Taylor. Oh, wow.
She's agree?
Oh, I agree.
She's a piece of work. Oh,
she's a mole?
She is a mole. And you know what? I would want to be paired with Hugo. Yes. So I have a lot of love for Hugo time.
So yeah. He's a good guy, and he's getting done over by a dead set flat chat mole.
Thank you.
Sums it up.
You say it well. You're watching.
Well, paint the picture for me.
Okay. Mm. So last night, the producer, and you can tell that things weren't going to get off to a good start with these two, because the producers of the show get them behind closed doors, and they asked Taylor, "What is the best thing about Hugo?
Is there any part of Hugo that you find attractive?"
Mm.
part of Hugo that I find attractive, and that is his height. Oh my gosh.
That was Lee Sales on cello, by the way, in the background. Well, that's a bit rude.
Yeah, so that didn't experiment.
Is she deliberately trying to be rude or is she naturally rude?
I'd say she's, yeah, I'd say the producers are working her over, but she's got a real bitchy element to her, a real edge.
What did you say last night? What was that school you said she might have went to last night? I've never heard of it.
I don't think I'm going to go there. It's a very elite private school in Sydney, but, it's...
Not naming names?
Not going to name names.
It's an elite one. Yeah. So what they had to do, part of an experiment was they had to kind of first Taylor and then Hugo, they had to rank where their partners would be as far as hotness goes.
Here we go. This will be good.
Yeah, in the experiment. And then
this will be controversial.
Yeah, well, where'd Taylor put Hugo?
Well, Taylor put Hugo first in the end. And so he thought she was going to put him last because there's some real hotties in this experiment. And so she kind of came back into the play. And so I thought, oh, Hugo, okay, what's he going to do? Because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
This is where I reckon he got his own back and got a bit more power back because this is what he did.
This isn't, you know, just about looks. You know, it is about intelligence. It is about trying. There's humour. So I think... From all of that side, maybe you do deserve to be last.
Yeah.
So he's gone and whacked her photo last out of all the other girls and said, look, out of all the girls, you're the least.
That's aggressive.
It is aggressive, but then he had second thoughts.
Look, it's my decision. There's no way I'm going to let you be last, woman. You can go second last.
Oh. And how'd that go down?
She was speechless. She was mortified. You know what? It went down well because she was so speechless, you could see she was thinking about her own actions and going,
yes.
This is what I'm getting for being a bit of a mole.
Right. And do they sleep together or what's happening?
He's on the floor.
Oh, is he on the floor?
He's on the floor because she doesn't think he's ready to jump into bed with her.
We're used to that now, mate. Don't worry about
and he gets like an inch of the wardrobe. And she's got
the
like.
Couch again, Mickey.
Take your own blanket, baby.
Do you have a drunk tank? I've got a drunk tank at home. If when I come home, it's sometimes I don't even ask. I just go, I'll just grab a blankie and head to the drunk tank. And you thaw out.
Same.
You thaw out. Don't even try it on.
No.
You'll get maced. No. You'll get.
I walk in.
Just go. Wave. See ya.
No wave at the doorway. Nothing.
No.
I'll see you tomorrow morning.
See you in the morning.
Mick Malloy, MG in the morning.